Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
Have you heard the expression, "I've seen the writing on the wall"? The expression means that a person sees or recognizes some kind of sign or indication that something is going to happen in the near future. And usually what is going to take place is not very favorable, or perhaps very unpleasant. For example, sometimes the economy has serious fluctuations, and an investor might sell off some stocks and say, "I saw the writing on the wall that the market was going to crash, so I sold a good part of my portfolio." Did you ever wonder where that expression came from? In this lesson, as we consider the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel, we will see where this saying originated. A lot has transpired in the kingdom of Babylon since the inhabitants of Judah were taken captive. In previous lessons, we saw what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. We saw how he was humbled before God. We saw how he recognized God as supreme ruler over all things. Now, probably some 20 or so years later, there is a different ruler. His name is Belshazzar. Apparently, he was not actually the king at this time, but set in position to govern the kingdom while his father Nabonidus appears to have been in Arabia. Belshazzar was actually a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. One night, Belshazzar decides to have a great feast. We read in the first verse that he made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Again, this number does not necessarily mean that it was precisely 1,000 people that were present, but that there was an extremely large group here celebrating while drinking wine. Then Belshazzar decides to make this party even greater by using the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem. These vessels were stolen from the temple. These were considered holy vessels to be used for the service of the Lord. But what does Belshazzar do? In verse 4, we read, "They drank wine and praised the gods of silver, the gods of gold, gods of wood, gods of brass, gods of stone," in other words, idols. Didn't Belshazzar know better? Did he really think that he could abuse these holy vessels and get away with it? Let's see what happens. As they have this great feast, maybe celebrating the victories of the conquests of his father and grandfather, using these holy vessels to praise their imaginary gods, suddenly something very mysterious happens. Fingers of a man's hand appear out of nowhere and write on the wall. There is no body, there is no person, just a man's hand. You can imagine how frightened everyone must be. No one has ever seen anything like this before. The ruler's face becomes pale, and he begins to shake and tremble. He is so terrified that he cannot control the movement of his body. His knees bang against each other. He cries out, "Bring me the astrologers, bring me the Chaldeans, bring me the soothsayers." Once all these wise men appear, he says, "Whoever can read this writing and whoever can tell me what it means, I will clothe you with scarlet, I will give you a golden chain to put around your neck, and you will be third in line for ruling this kingdom." Whatever was written on the wall was written in a language that no one could understand. No one could read it. And when all the king's wise men come in, they look at the words of the letters, and they have no idea what it means. They cannot interpret it. And now Belshazzar is even more frightened. What can this possibly mean? He is absolutely terrified. And of course, all of his guests are equally disturbed. When your ruler is no longer in control, you will also be very insecure and frightened as well. But then we read something about the queen, and we need to understand that this queen is probably Nebuchadnezzar's widow. She comes into the banquet house and tells Belshazzar not to worry, because she knows someone that apparently Belshazzar does not, who is especially gifted and who has a reputation of being able to interpret different things. And who is this man? It is Daniel, of course, the one that interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's two dreams. The queen says, "This man possesses an excellent spirit. He has knowledge and understanding, and he is able to interpret dreams. He is able to explain difficult sentences. He is able to remove doubts." This man is the one that Nebuchadnezzar named Belteshazzar. The queen says, "Call this man, and he will tell you the interpretation of these mysterious words." No doubt they make haste to find Daniel, and they bring him before Belshazzar. Belshazzar does not know who Daniel is, so he asks him, "Are you Daniel? Are you part of that group that was taken captive from Judah? Are you the one that Nebuchadnezzar brought out of Judah?" Then he says, "I have heard about you, that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you are extremely wise, and you have wisdom, and you have light." Do you recognize the wording that Belshazzar uses? It is the same as what Nebuchadnezzar used to describe Daniel. "The spirit of the gods is in you." Belshazzar continues, and he says that all of the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in so that they could read the writing on the wall and tell him what it meant, but they were not able to. And then he repeats, "I have heard about you, that you can make interpretations and remove doubt." And then he makes a proposal. He says, "If you can read the writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed with scarlet, have a golden chain put around your neck, and be the third ruler in the kingdom." That is quite an honor. A Jewish captive made third ruler of the kingdom? A Jewish captive clothed in scarlet with a golden chain around his neck? What does Daniel think about this? Basically, if we were to use our modern language, Daniel says, "Keep it. I don't want it, and I don't need it. But I will read the writing and tell you what it means." And then Daniel backs up a little bit in history before he even reads the writing. He goes back to Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar's grandfather, and he says that Nebuchadnezzar was given his kingdom, his majesty, and his honor from none other than God himself, and that God allowed him to conquer many countries. And the people feared him because he had so much power that anyone he wanted to kill, he would kill. And anyone he wanted to keep alive, he would keep alive. And anyone he wanted to put in a position of power, he would put them in a position of power. And anyone he wanted to remove from power, he would remove. That is how powerful Nebuchadnezzar was, and he got this power from God. Then Daniel reminds Belshazzar of what happened when he became too proud. He tells the story of how Nebuchadnezzar became like an animal for some time. You no doubt remember this from a previous lesson where we talked about the affliction that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, so that for 7 years he lived in the fields with the animals, he ate grass like an ox until he finally recognized God was supreme ruler. You probably also remember how humble Nebuchadnezzar became and praised the God of Daniel and acknowledged him as the Most High God. In contrast, Daniel continues to say that Belshazzar has not humbled his heart, even though he knew all this history about his grandfather. And that is the problem, Daniel continues, and says that he has lifted up himself against this God. He never recognized God as the Most High God. Daniel says, "You have offended this God by bringing these holy vessels to use in this great feast to praise gods of silver, of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which clearly inanimate objects cannot hear, they can't see, they don't know anything. But the God who gives you your very breath and life, you have not glorified. This is why the hand was sent from God to write on the wall." Isn't Daniel afraid to speak to the king this way? Not at all. Daniel must tell him the truth, no matter the risk or cost. And then we see the writing on the wall in verse 25. It says, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." What strange words. What do they mean? Daniel does not waste any time. He immediately reads the words and then begins to explain what they mean. "Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. This means Belshazzar's time as ruler is up. Tekel, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting." So what does this mean? This is an expression. This would be like someone weighing precious metals on a scale, for example, and finding out that the weight is nowhere near where it should be. So in other words, God is examining Belshazzar's rule and seeing that Belshazzar is coming up way short. Peres. This is not the same word as upharsin. Well, it actually is, just the singular form of upharsin. This means Belshazzar's kingdom is divided and will be given to the Medes and the Persians. Do you remember the first dream Nebuchadnezzar had about that huge image and how the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and how the rest of the image represented succeeding kingdoms that would come and take over? Well, part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream is about to be fulfilled. How does Belshazzar react? Does he become angry that his kingdom will soon be taken from him? Is he going to punish Daniel for being so blunt with him? No. Belshazzar sticks to his word. He commands them to clothe Daniel with scarlet. They put a golden chain around his neck. And Belshazzar sends out a proclamation that Daniel is now the third ruler in the kingdom. But what is happening? What has been happening while they were having this great feast? We talked about the city of Babylon in our last lesson, when Nebuchadnezzar was looking over his city and asked, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built?" We talked about the city walls, the inner and the outer walls and how huge they were. The Babylonians were prepared to be besieged by enemies. The city had a huge supply of food. Some historians say that there was enough food in the city for the city inhabitants to last 4 years without having to leave the city walls. Additionally, they had fresh water supply from either the Tigris River itself or part of the river running underneath the city walls that would also supply fresh fish. Apparently, Cyrus had either diverted the water from the river or had dug some kind of lake that would greatly reduce the depth of the water flowing under the city walls. And in the dark of night, when Belshazzar and his men were having this great party, Cyrus's army entered the city. And in a brief struggle and a feeble attempt to fight off the attackers, Belshazzar is killed that very night. There are some historians that speculate that perhaps Belshazzar was killed by his own men because they actually preferred to have Cyrus as their new king. Nevertheless, the point is, Daniel's prediction that the kingdom would be taken was fulfilled probably within hours. We read in the last verses of the chapter, "And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." Again, we are reminded that God is not mocked. We are reminded of the danger of being proud and trusting in our own strength and wisdom. We are reminded also that God's word is true and will be fulfilled in His time.